Blog Talk Radio.
Well, good evening, everyone, and welcome to this end of November broadcast of Money and Other Things Financial. This is your host, Bostonian, coming to you live on November the 28th, 2021. Only two more days to the end of the month, and then we go into December and the beginning of winter on the 21st or thereabouts. But anyway, I hope you had a good Thanksgiving, and are thankful for those things that you have in your life, and that and to show that thanks to your Creator through prayer and meditation. Thursday was Thanksgiving, and I hear that a lot of the people are having to settle for soy turkey instead of the regular turkey, with all of the problems in the economy and in the supply chains due to the pandemic and other things. But anyway, be thankful for, as I say, everything. I think the prayer goes, give thanks always. In good times and bad times, and pray, and things will turn out fine. So again, I want to welcome you to the show, and give you the call-in number, and let you know that the chat room is open. And the call-in number is 914-803-4379, and the temperature at airtime here in Boston is 37 degrees. There's a slight forecast of snow showers in the upcoming days, but we'll deal with it. We've had many, many snowstorms here in Boston. In addition to the holiday on Thursday, we also had Black Friday the next day, which starts the holiday shopping season. I'm not much of a shopper, but hopefully you're watching your bargains and your debt levels and taking everything into consideration to do what is sensible. Next big day coming up on Monday is Cyber Monday, and we'll see. I believe that's when we have the online shopping in full swing. I'll talk a little bit about the Black Friday activity later on in the show. But right now I want to jump into the coronavirus pandemic statistics, as I do for the past year or so. We have the global infected rate is 261,700,000 732,268. Active, 20,163,590. And the deaths on a global scale is 5,286,642. Because these figures are changing as I speak. And the recovered is 236,352,036. On the USA, total infected 49,091,189. Active cases 9,421,719. The deaths 799,360. That's approaching the $800,000 mark and probably will be there by tomorrow, if not sooner. And the recovered is 38,870,110. You can see out of the 49 million in the USA that have been infected, 39 million, all but 10 million of them have recovered. We have 39 countries now with over a million infected, as Portugal and Hungary have been added to the list. Every program seems to add a few more, although it was stuck at 36, I believe, for quite a while. And on deck is six more that are in the $900,000 infected. So we may see some of them go over the million mark by our next show in December. A new variant has emerged out of the South Africa nation, and it's according to the head medical authority there, the South African Medical Association head, they believe it causes, the variant causes unusual but mild symptoms. So hopefully that won't be affecting the rest of the continent of Africa or the world for that matter, with more negative results. All right, with all the talk about the, first of all, before I get into the that issue that I brought about deaths, we see on the number of deaths in the USA, I did a little analysis and I was seeing the deaths dropping. I went back to the to about 10 weeks ago when the deaths were 719,915, and I'm going to just scale down these by every 2 weeks. They went down by 24,596 and then by 21,755 and then by 17,283. And then by tonight's show, they went down from 2 weeks ago by 15,811. So it appears that they're going down by about 2,500 every 2 weeks. And if that projected out for the next 10 weeks, we might be down to single digits. Because there's, there's 15,000, they drop 15,000, say, a week. So it would be getting down there pretty low. Anyway, I want to talk about another important subject, and that is that people should give more attention to, and that is the number of abortions that are going on in our country. We have a major issue there, and this I researched before the show, that from lifenews.com that abortion is the leading cause of death during COVID, basically the two-year period, killing 76 million people worldwide. The global figures are not that much. So 76 million people have been aborted. Every second of every day, unborn babies all across the world are being killed in abortions. And while other tragedies, including COVID-19, heart disease, cancer, traffic accidents, and more, also are killing human beings daily, abortion remains the leading but rarely acknowledged cause of death in the world. Everywhere, people devote vast amounts of resources to preventing other causes of death. For nearly 2 years, scientists, doctors, nurses, and other people in the medical field have worked furiously to create vaccines and develop treatments to help patients recover and recover more from COVID-19. Many more people have sacrificed worldwide, some losing businesses and jobs, closing schools and churches to combat the spread of the virus. Despite these ongoing efforts, 5.1 million people still died, according to Worldometer's website. Tragically, at the exact same time when so many have been striving to save lives from COVID and other causes, abortion activists have been pushing to do the opposite with abortion. They are openly calling for more abortions, more deaths of unborn babies, even though abortion is by far the leading cause of death in the world. Thus far in 2021, Worldometer estimates there have been 38 million induced abortions across the world, or about 125,000 every day. The number is based on the latest statistics on worldwide abortions published by the World Health Organization, or the WHO. In the United States alone, an estimated 2,465 unborn babies are killed in abortions every day, according to estimates from the Guttmacher Institute. Yet there is not the same attention on near deaths as there is to COVID or cancer or others. So that's a longer article, but you can read about it if you go to www.lifenews, that's lifenews.com. This is a world tragedy on the number of abortions that are taking place in our world. And I understand that the Biden administration has now, or is starting to restore support for abortions in other countries, which had been terminated under the Trump administration. So we need to take action, and many of us are doing that, and we need to encourage each other to stop the spread of the abortion industry. Now let me check the chat room, see if anyone's in there. No one's in there now. Of course, everybody's recovering from the four-day weekend and having to head to work tomorrow, whether they're working from home or have to go to outside the home location. Well, a big story since the last show is the Kyle Rittenhouse court case and the decision that he was found not guilty on all, I believe, five counts, where two people had been killed and one, he wounded one. And the case was watched pretty intently, and the decision came from the jury that he would be, had exercised what is called self-defense. in those shootings. The New York Post has an article on it, and it has to do with the possibility that he may be getting involved in legal action against those that he believes, including the president, that may have committed defamation in some of the actions that they took during the period since the shootings. So we'll watch that for you and get back to you as the events unfold. All right, let me give you the some of the financial news and the other news. The Dow closed. It seems like the things are heading south with all of the financial issues that are impacting our lives. We see the market now heading down. It was down 2 weeks ago. No, it was up 2 weeks ago, but since the last show, the Dow closed at 34,899.34. That was down from 36,131. It had been hitting new highs pretty regularly. The NASDAQ closed the week at 15,491.66. That was down from 15,880.96. And the S&P also down at 4594.62. And it was 4682.85 2 weeks ago. Gold closed at 1791.80. That was down from 1865.20. It seems like it has trouble holding the $1,800 level. And silver having similar problems with the $25 level as it closed the week at 2309, down from 2531 2 weeks ago. Bitcoin had a big tumble from 68,000, where I believe that was pretty much its high not too long ago, to under 58,000 as I looked at it before tonight's show. So we're going to have Black Friday coming up tomorrow. I'm sorry, Black Friday was the day after Thanksgiving, and I read that the online sales were disappointing, but the all the figures are still being accumulated on the results of people spending. I think people may be looking for bargains and shopping early so that they can avoid any financial difficulties and as they head into the Christmas season. There have been a series of organized retail crime thefts. They have been accelerating in certain cities primarily, and I think some of the large stores are going to have to provide more security forces there to prevent that theft. But we need to encourage each other to do what we can to put an end to those violations. Remember, one of the commandments is thou shalt not steal. All right, let me give you the approval and disapproval figures that I do every 2 weeks. The Real Clear Average polls show that President Biden's approval is now down to 41.7. That's down some more from the 42.0 that it was 2 weeks ago. The disapproval is down slightly from 52.7 to 52.5. So the results are not good for the for the Democrats, and you can understand why with all of the headaches that the Americans are dealing with. I do have a story here I'd like to read, if I can find it. This is on from Town Hall, www.townhall.com. The headline is Biden's approval rating below that of least popular governor. GOP is 9 out of the 10 most popular governors. A recent poll shows that President Joe Biden's favorability falls behind the least popular governor in the United States, and that 9 of the 10 most popular governors in the country are Republican. Vermont Governor Phil Scott is the most popular governor in the nation with a 71% approval rating, according to a recent poll from the Morning Consult that also shows Connecticut Governor Ned Lamont is the only Democrat to crack the top 10. The list of popular governors had Scott followed by Charlie Baker, Republican of Mass, Larry Hogan, Republican of Maryland, Chris Sununu, Republican of New Hampshire, Mark Gordon, Republican of Wyoming, Jim Justice, Republican of West Virginia, Lamont K. Ivey, Republican of Alabama, Mike DeWine, Republican of Ohio, and Spencer Cox, the Republican from Utah. These are the list of popular governors that are Republican. Meanwhile, Governor Kate Brown, Democrat of Oregon, Doug Ducey, Republican of Arizona, and David Ige, Democrat of Hawaii, were at the top of the list for least popular governors. Brown's last place approval rating at just 43% was 7 points higher than Biden's approval rating in a recent Quinnipiac poll. A tally of 46% of respondents questioned in the poll said they would rather have the Republican Party win the White House if the midterms were held today, compared to just 38% preferring Democrats and 16% not having an opinion. They also said by 46% to 40% margin that they would like to see Republicans take back the Senate majority, with 15% not offering an opinion. An ominous double whammy for the Democrats, with midterms less than a year away, the Senate and the House will be up for grabs, and voters want the GOP to win the jump ball, Quinnipiac University polling analyst Tim Malloy said. The Quinnipiac poll, conducted November 11th to November 15th, had a 10-point edge over the Democrats in the early midterm voting. So what do you think, ladies and gentlemen? If you want to call in, get a few minutes to let me know your thoughts. But the way I look at it, with all the things that are going wrong in the country, you know, led by the coronavirus shutdowns and the vaccine mandates, which I'm going to talk about in the non-live portion coming up, but the immigration problems with the southern border being basically a sieve, as people have, from the reports I'm getting, is people, illegal people are coming into the country, and the federal government is casting a blind eye toward it. And some people believe that it is because they want to get more people in to become Democrats and be added to their voting base. But this is still violating the law. And whether it's an impeachable offense or not, this also has to be looked into. But not only that, but the schools' systems are not turning out good results in the way they're promoting the CRT or the critical race theory advocates, and also pushing the transgender thinking. And a lot of people are starting to see that and wake up, as was evidenced in the election in Virginia and in New Jersey and other places, where Democrats took a pretty good thrashing, especially with the defeat of Terry McAuliffe in Virginia by Glenn Youngkin. And a lot of that was attributed to the fact that McAuliffe said that the parents have no right to have a say in their children's education. I think that may have been the one major issue that caused the defeat. But we have to speak out and voice our concerns when our children's lives are being affected. I would recommend that if you're buying gifts for your sons and daughters, that you might consider purchasing Mark Levin's book, American Marxism, as many of us believe that Marxism is being promoted vigorously by the left-leaning forces. They call themselves progressives, but Mark Levin calls them Marxists, and based on my analysis of it, it looks more like Marxism to me than the previous views that Democrats had prior to, let's say, 1980. We have gradually tilted to extreme left, and I think, as Rush Limbaugh used to say, the Democrats always overreach, and that is when they turn the people off and they have a reverse result, as the polls are now indicating. The one caveat is, of course, is the integrity of the voting. We still don't see any decertification of the votes from the 2020 election, although there is still some rumblings going on in Arizona, and we'll have to stay with that, but we have to make sure that the voting is system has improved. Judicial Watch, I understand, is doing some work on that, but we'll keep telling our legislators to tighten up on the voting issue and make sure that it's a true voice of the people. Because we, the people, are in charge of the country. So we're running out of time. I want to welcome you, tell you that the next show will be in 2 weeks on December the 15th. Let me see. I didn't write it down. But 2 weeks would be December the 12th. So join us then. God bless you all. Stay safe. And we'll see you for the next broadcast of Money and Other Things Financial. Good night, everyone. Okay, welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. This is Bostonian, host of The Money Show with the non-live portion. That's 15 minutes of me broadcasting what I want. And I have two clips from Dr. Chaps that I think will be something you would want to hear. And it has to do with the vax mandates. So I got to jump into it right away to get them both in. So here is Dr. Chaps, Gordon Klingenschmidt, with his views.
United States Marine, an officer, a woman who is a fighter pilot, has now been punished for her personal religious objection to the vaccine mandate. Liberty Counsel reports that while they are providing assistance in the lawsuit, Navy SEAL 1 versus Biden, the SEALs, over a dozen, are suing the Biden administration. Liberty Counsel also reports one of the newest stories of anti-religious persecution that would shock you as it did me. There is a young woman, an officer in the Marines, we'll call her Carrie, who graduated in the top of her class at the basic school initial officer training. She pursued aerospace engineering at the United States Naval Academy. This brilliant young woman was assigned to the Marine Corps as a captain with more than 5 years of honorable service, and she was a fighter pilot. Flew in the F-35C Lightning II. There's a picture of that beautiful plane. Single-seat aircraft used for surveillance and strike missions. But when the COVID shot was first rolled out, Harry requested a religious and medical exemption. Both were denied. He shared, saying that, quote, I have seen everything from coercion, undue command influence to receive a voluntary drug, hypocrisy in enforcement of rules for vaccinated versus unvaccinated, hypocrisy in enforcement of mitigation rules between officers and enlisted, being denied leave, having to speak individually and discriminatorily to my commanding officer, and the higher headquarters CO. During these meetings, I had to explain my position ad nauseum and defend my religious beliefs. These one-on-one meetings with an O5 and O6 were extremely uncomfortable, intimidating, and stressful. But the hardest point was when she asked for leave, vacation, to attend her own sister's wedding. Carrie requested leave to go to her sister's wedding months beforehand, and she even offered to take a COVID test before and after the wedding so she could attend. However, she reports the following, quote, my command provided me with little to no information on the status of my request. Ironically, I had a Marine who was vaccinated that thought he had COVID-19 and was given the privilege of testing out in order to board the ship for our detachment, end quote. There's a double standard there. Even if you have COVID, you get a pass as long as you have the vaccine. Finally, the last week before the wedding, Carrie was informed that her request for leave was denied. She missed the wedding. At this point, even though her commanders knew how important this was, they had no empathy or support. Then to add insult to injury, Carrie said the following, quote, I was forced to attend a squadron party of nearly 40 people on the very same night of her sister's wedding, even though I was supposed to be restricting my movement prior to boarding the ship, end quote. This so clearly emphasizes how this was not about a disease, but about her commanding officer punishing Carrie because she requested a religious exemption from the shots. This Marine officer stood firm, and she continues to stand firm today for her religious beliefs. And that's the news. Our thanks to Liberty Counsel and Matt Saber for that report. So here is the double standard, right? If you're sick with COVID but you've had the vaccine, you get a pass. If you're healthy and you didn't get the vaccine, you get punished. For your religious views, now listen, you and I may not have a religious objection to getting the vaccine, but this woman did, and I will stand for her religious views, whatever they are. There are traditionally three denominations that refuse all vaccines and have for decades or hundreds of years. That is Christian Scientists, Dutch Reformed, or Muslims. If you're in one of those groups, obviously your religion forbids you to get the vaccine. There are other pro-life arguments of whether the vaccine was tested, although it does not contain stem cells or issuing from aborted fetal lines, but it was tested on them. So that is a legitimate argument for pro-life Christians to say, hey, this doesn't fit with my personal beliefs. We need to stand up for religious liberty, and for the Biden administration to punish officers, and by the way, to date, we have heard of zero exemption waivers being granted in the U.S. Navy. Zero. Which means they have a blanket denial policy which violates their own promise to take everything on a case-by-case basis. They're not taking it on a case-by-case basis. They're issuing blanket denials even against people's religious views. And to that, we pronounce anathema upon the Biden administration. You should be sued and you should be found guilty of violating the First Amendment rights of our servicemen. This persecution was promised, right, not only by Jesus, but in 2 Timothy. The Bible says this, yes, and all who desire to live godly in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution. We don't expect it, but we do expose it, and we call it out. Let's pray. Would you pray with me? Father in heaven, we pray for this Marine officer, that you would reward her as the hero that she is for not only defending her country, but for standing up for principle. A woman of courage who is honoring the Navy values of honor, courage, and commitment. She is keeping her personal honor. Do not violate her conscience. She's showing courage by standing up against unconstitutional laws. And she is proving her commitment to God and country. And Father, we pray that you would reward her for that service. I pray this blessing on Carrie in Jesus' name. Amen.
Okay, well, that's the first portion I wanted to play for you. I'm going to skip up to the next on the same subject. I just have to find the right spot in the broadcast. So bear with me. All right, here we go.
From Epoch Times reports, an appeals court, Fifth Circuit, has struck down, for now, temporarily, the Biden vaccine mandate as unconstitutional for many reasons. Epoch Times says that a federal appeals court blocked the Biden administration's private employer COVID-19 vaccine mandate. You know, when they were going to require all employers that have 100 employees or more get the vaccine. But the court asserts that there are constitutional issues with that requirement, and because the petitions give cause to believe there are grave statutory and constitutional issues with the mandate, the mandate is hereby stayed pending further action by this court. That's not just a federal judge. That's a three-judge panel at the Court of Appeals for the Fifth Circuit. They wrote those words in their brief order. The halt of the mandate, which was unveiled last week, is temporary as the case moves forward. The case was brought by multiple businesses, including Christian ministries like the American Family Association, I heard that Daystar was part of that, multiple individuals, several states, including Texas, Utah, and Mississippi, were filing because it violates their state laws to guarantee freedom. And now Biden will appeal to the Supreme Court. Not enough that he was struck down by the appeals court. Biden wants to impose the mandate so badly, he's appealing to the U.S. Supreme Court. He wants to force employers to fire non-vaxxers. or face heavy fines. Petitioners, said that the mandate was promulgated in an emergency temporary standard order by the Department of Labor. They were using the Occupational Safety and Health Administration, OSHA, to enforce an act that will punish people for workplace endangerment. But now, the mandate is being struck down because it is, according to the courts, exceeding OSHA's authority under the Occupational Safety and Health Act. The court says the authority is limited to workplace-related hazards, but COVID is not a workplace-related hazard, they say. It is, quote, a society-wide danger, end quote. So not just in the workplace. Therefore, it exceeds OSHA's authority. He also said the mandate doesn't make sense because determining whether COVID-19 is a workplace hazard depends on employees' age and health and how many coworkers they have. Lawyers for the petitioners wrote in an emergency motion asking the court to impose a stay. Here's a quote from that brief. It says, in an attempt to impose a nationwide vaccination mandate without approval from Congress, the executive branch has couched its COVID-19 vaccine mandate as an emergency workplace rule affecting nearly 100 million Americans. But the emergency is neither a workplace rule nor responsive to any emergency. Vaccination status is instead a public health issue that affects people throughout society. It is not a hazard particular to the workplace, and there is no need to use an emergency rule to address a pandemic that has been going on for nearly 2 years. Congress did not grant OSHA such sweeping powers in its authorizing statute, end quote. So in other words, the executive branch is exceeding the authority given to it by Congress. Biden administration officials, however, have said that they are confident that the OSHA rule will withstand a flurry of legal challenges that they lodged after it was made public. And Biden not only is threatening to appeal to the Supreme Court, he's also enforcing the mandate even after it was struck down, apparently ignoring the court orders. Our thanks to the Epoch Times for that report. Again, we have discerned the spirits on this in the past, but there is a spirit of tyranny who is punishing people for doing the right thing. In their personal religious view or in, certainly we want everyone to be safe in the workplace, but self-governance is the answer, not tyrannical governance from outside. We want people to personally take responsibility and personally care for their own health. If that means that you want to get the vaccine, go for it. If that means you want to wear a mask, go for it. But personal governance over your own body is what the Constitution requires.
Yes, it's right on there, ladies and gentlemen, and we need to stay on top of that issue and do what we can to see that our Constitution is supported and enforced. Well, that's it. I got to run. I'll see you in 2 weeks. God bless you, and God bless America. Good night, everyone.